On today's Compassion Radio.
A trip to a Christian bookstore here in the U.S. and Canada will reveal an endless variety of Bibles, Bible versions, study Bibles, and the so-called niche Bibles, Bibles for men and women and children and students, and on ad infinitum. But despite all of these kinds of Bibles, the Bible remains in our society largely unread and unknown. Not so in China. If you want to see a place where God's Word is treasured and studied and used to win the lost, look at China.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Hello and welcome to the Ministry Broadcast Journal that takes you to the edge. This is where you'll hear about the new thing God is doing in some of the world's most difficult places. For the past few days, our boots have been covered with the dust of China, as Norman Scher trek remote mountain villages and teeming urban jungles alike. Today's adventure takes us right to the heart of the Chinese house church movement, where evangelism is exploding and where printed copies of God's Word are still desperately needed. Here's Norm to tell us more about the challenges and incredible opportunities of the church in China.
With me in the studio today is my wife, Cher, and she's as passionate as I am. Cher, I wonder, would you remind our listeners and partners of how amazing the growth of the Christian church in China has been over these past 50 years?
Well, in the 1940s, when the communists decided to evict the missionaries and close the churches and arrested and imprisoned the pastors, and they killed many of the Christians, there were approximately 900,000 Christians that could be accounted for. Now, after all these years of continuing persecution, the church actually numbers up to 100 million.
That's unbelievable.
Well, we can't account for it by fancy programs at the church or glorious buildings or wonderful seminars to go to. It has to be just the work of God.
Yeah, absolutely. No marketing techniques employed in the church in China, but it's growing faster than any church has ever grown in the history of Christianity. And, you know, all of this growth has happened in the midst of constant and intense persecution of house church believers by the communist government. The truth is that every day, 20 to 30,000 Chinese people come to faith in Jesus Christ in spite of the persecution that's directed against Christians by the government.
Or because of.
Yeah, or because of. Absolutely. And so now we have a very timely example of this persecution that arrived on my desk in a letter that came from a friend whose name we'd better not mention because he lives in China. And honey, I wonder if you'd read from that letter so our listening friends can see what we're talking about when we talk about the persecution of Christians in China.
I sure will. The letter begins, "On Thursday morning, around 20 Christians gathered in an apartment in a suburb of Tianjin for a session of worship and training. Four were local Christian house church leaders, and the others were Christian brothers and sisters visiting from a distant province. Around 9 a.m., shortly after gathering, local Public Security Bureau officers interrupted them. One brother managed to slip out without his coat and ran to escape arrest. He eventually made it to Beijing, where he reported the incident to other house church leaders after spending all day and the following night out in the cold without warm clothing evading arrest. With the exception of this one brother, the others were all arrested. They have been held now for 1 week as of this writing. One elderly sister was released yesterday, but 18 are still in custody. The homes of two of the local leaders, Wang Ligong and Yang Jinfu, were ransacked, and all of their household possessions were confiscated. Please pray for Wang Ligong and Yang Jinfu, as well as the other 16 who are still being held. Pray that the authorities will not charge them and that they will be exonerated of wrongdoing and released without harm and returned safely to their families. If you know of any method to bring pressure on the Chinese government to release these Christian brothers and sisters, please help in this regard. Your prayers and efforts on their behalf are appreciated."
Well, that kind of thing happens every single day, doesn't it,
exactly.
In China?
Exactly. And it will loosen for a little while in one province and then almost to take people off their guard. And then suddenly they crack down again, and they never know.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. In September of last year, you and I were actually in such a house church meeting in the city of Beijing. And that gathering was precisely the kind of meeting that the police break up every day in China, just like the letter you just read to us. In fact, honey, it's very rare for Westerners to be able to visit a house church meeting meeting like this one. One of our key contacts in China, a fellow that we've known now for many years, and he's been living there in China for 14 years, told us after we had the opportunity to visit this house church that he has never been able to go to a house church gathering.
Right.
And he stressed to us how blessed we were to be able to be a part of one. Well, actually, it was a little bit like being in a James Bond movie. It was done with a lot of secrecy and a lot of deception, wasn't it?
Well, I understand what you mean by that, except it was far more serious than any James Bond movie.
Well, true.
Why we were given the opportunity, why the Lord opened that door for us, we don't know. But when we were told on the QT to be in the lobby of a hotel ready to go somewhere that evening, we assumed that that's what we were off to do. But it was all very secretive, and we were met outside and put in a taxi with the gentleman who had arranged it for us. We were told nothing about where we were going. He carried on a conversation with a cab driver in Chinese on the way. We knew nothing. We pulled up in front of a McDonald's and stopped.
Yeah.
And suddenly he got out of the taxi, and we sort of prepared to get out when suddenly a young woman got in the seat next to the driver, and the cab began to move again.
Off we went.
Yes, we did. We still had no idea where we were going. Finally, we pulled up at a large apartment complex, many buildings in the complex, but only single light here and there giving any illumination. So it was very dark, very shadowy. We got out of the taxi and without talking, simply walked quietly with her.
And rapidly.
Very rapidly. We knew from stories from before and from other experiences that the lower profile we could keep on the way in was to our advantage, and as well as the Christians that were gathered there, because there should not be Westerners in that area of the city or in that apartment complex. They would have no business being there. So we simply walked very rapidly with her. We got to a back building in the complex, and as we walked up, the entrance was completely black, but there was a motion sensor light that went on as we entered just the entrance. There wasn't a door into it, just an entrance into the building, and we began to climb stairs. And with each successive floor, that one little light in the bottom got dimmer and dimmer until by the time we got to the top floor where the meeting was held, we were in total blackness and really feeling our way along the hall until suddenly she, preceding us, knocked on a door and the door opened and we were greeted by the biggest smiles and the most friendly people and ushered into a very small apartment that was jammed with young people. The meeting was already in progress, so we were ushered to boxes that we could sit on that were in place of chairs, and it was utterly amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We were almost out of breath and plunged from darkness into this group of beaming young people that were all there gathered to praise the Lord, and boy, did they praise.
Did they ever. You know, I've developed in recent months, and I guess even recent years, a whole new category of living. They're called pinch-me moments, and this really was a pinch-me moment. Are we here? Are we actually in one of these house churches? We were told that we were near Beijing University, but we don't know how close we were. And I guess we assumed that looking at these young people that they were university students, but really most of them were not, were they?
That was interesting, right. There were university students there, but the majority of them were not, but had all been won to the Lord by these university students.
Yeah. So it was essentially a group of new believers, of new converts. Now, you know, all of this just makes you wonder, if we Christians in America, if we had to go through such difficult and risky business just to gather together to worship, would we do it? We can find all kinds of reasons not to get involved in church now with all the comfort and all of that that we have. I wonder if we would. Maybe we would. Maybe it would mean more to us if there was persecution. But it does raise that question in your mind because, again, this was a meeting that could have been broken up by the police, just as was true in that letter, with these young people arrested, and yet there they were, gathered together to praise the Lord.
Right. For us, it's a desire. For them, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah. I would like for you, if you wouldn't mind, honey, to tell our listeners just what that meeting was like. For example, first of all, who was there?
Well, we talked about the fact that they were all young people. They were well-dressed, but not affluent-looking young people, but all very intelligent-looking, all very eager, not in the least distracted by the fact that we were there.
Not at all.
You know how at church sometimes we'll all turn around and look at the visitors that come in or anybody new that's walking down the aisle or whatever. These people were so intent on what was happening that there basically was not even a nod in our direction when we first sat down.
They were focused on the Lord.
And then...
How about the singing?
That's what I was going
to
say.
You can't wait to say it, can you?
Then they began to sing. Oh, we could not believe the sound that began to come out of them. They sang with their whole heart, whole soul, whole mind, whole voice. And the interesting thing was they were all Chinese-written hymns. but all very much with the same tone and flavor of Onward Christian Soldiers.
The guys were pumping their fists.
They were, in time to the music, just very militant, very strong, very determined
right.
songs. There was nothing...
sweet and wispy and sentimental about
exactly.
any of this.
Exactly,
It was martial, like martial music.
Exactly yeah. the right word. As the singing progressed, suddenly we heard a police whistle from yeah. down below. Yeah. And you and I and Georgine, who was with us, absolutely froze, wondering what was going to happen. Well, no one ever came up. Nothing happened from it. But mm-hmm. it could have at any moment.
Right.
And they did not react to it. They were so intent on what they were singing and what they were saying through these words.
It was very inspiring
oh.
and full of energy. It was wonderful. You know, I was really moved by the praying that went on. Could you describe it?
It was very intense. You had the feeling that these people were talking to someone that they really knew.
Yeah.
And they were really telling the Lord what was on their heart and in their mind. But there was such affirmation in the room.
Mm-hmm.
We, of course, could not understand the words, but you could feel the phrases rise and fall. And at the end of each phrase, the room would echo, Amen, Amen.
Yeah, all together in mm-hmm. unison. It was really interesting.
It was, so be it, Lord. I mean, they were completely in one accord
yeah.
in prayer.
Yeah.
And many, many of them prayed.
And again, there was a kind of militant quality mm-hmm. about it that gave you the sense that these are people that are out to do something.
Absolutely.
Nothing passive about this.
You didn't have the feeling that they were talking about, I need an A on my exam, or mm-hmm. I need fuel for my car, or anything. I mean, they were seriously in prayer.
There was also a time of preaching. And of course, again, we had a real problem as far as language goes, but we knew the passage. What was the preaching like?
Well, there was no problem understanding the content.
Yeah.
The interesting part was the gal who spoke was someone that we had met before. We had no idea she was going to be there, and we were thrilled when we walked in and saw Harmony
yeah.
there, but not realizing that she was going to be the speaker for the evening. As she stood, that was really the first recognition that anybody in the room had given us, except for the fact that she had smiled and welcomed us when we came in. She showed us what passage she was going to be preaching from, and she was preaching from Acts.
Right.
And so she showed us the passage, and they went around the room. Each person read a verse out of this passage, and then she began to preach. Well, we were watching her finger as she was preaching, and she was going verse by verse, so it was very easy
yeah.
to follow and to understand certain words, like Paul was Paulus, and you could tell who she was talking about or what place she was talking about, because that Americanism came into the Chinese.
Sure.
It really was one of those Holy Spirit experiences where, though, although you did not understand the language, you were getting the full benefit of the message. But she spoke for over an hour, verse by verse, without a single note,
mm-hmm.
without a single hesitation, a clear, beautiful speaking voice, and she held them in
spellbound.
She did, except
yeah.
that they were taking notes furiously.
Right.
It was just amazing.
Chinese Christians take God's word gladly into their hands, but more importantly, into their hearts. Your gift to our God's Word for China campaign can help bring a vibrant, knowledgeable faith to more believers this year. Here's Norm to explain.
You can give Bibles to people in China who are hungry to read God's Word. Listen to this. For every Bible that is distributed in China, 5 people come to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, during this month, we're providing you the opportunity to send Bibles to China. To date, our Operation God's Word campaign has provided about 400,000 copies of the Word of God to people in China. As you may or may not know, the growth rate of Christianity in China is the greatest in the 2,000-year history of Christianity.
This month's world-changing project is our Operation God's Word Bibles for China campaign. Your gift of even $6 can put a copy of God's Word into the hands of a new Christian who really, truly wants it. Your gift of $60 means 10 believers will get their very first copy of a treasured Bible. Just give us a call today to be part of it. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. You can also give 24/7 through our website, CompassionRadio.com. And don't forget to join our community at Facebook.com/CompassionRadio. And now, back to Norm and Cher.
Now, honey, this is really important for our listeners to hear. Everybody had a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
What was so neat is when we looked at those Bibles, they were the Bibles that we have helped to provide for Christians all over China.
That's
through
right.
our Bibles for China campaigns. Did these Bibles look like they had been well-read?
well-read, well-marked, well-studied.
Silly question.
Looking around the room, there were people who were marking newly in this passage,
yeah.
but as she had them turn to a passage from something else, that was marked. So
yeah.
they were definitely studying.
And these are not big Bibles.
No.
They're not like the great big Life Application Bibles
or anything.
They're the kind that you can carry in the palm of your hand, but some of them were falling apart, and they were highlighted in yellow and other colors, and they were marked Chinese script all over them. And obviously, again, an intensity about the study of God's Word that is indicative of the kind of intensity that Christians have in that country. You know, honey, I thought that it was really special that we had an opportunity ourselves to speak to these intense young Christians and to sing and to pray with them and for them at the close of the meeting. And they were so grateful to us for providing them with Bibles so that they can grow in their faith in Christ and so that they can win others to faith in Christ. And there is so obviously, as you see at a meeting like this, there is a hunger to know God in China. There's a hunger to know God's Word. And so what a privilege it is to be able to provide Bibles for this dynamic and growing church in China. And that's what every listener can do. Now, I have a rare treat for you. It's something that I doubt that you'll ever hear anywhere else. It's a little recorded slice of the house church meeting in Beijing, China that we've just described for you. Now, the recording quality is not good because the microphone and the recorder had to be concealed for security reasons. But you'll hear, first of all, a verse of a Chinese gospel song sung by the young people. Second, you'll hear a young man pray with each sentence punctuated by the affirmation, Amen. Third, you'll hear me speak a brief word to these young people, and after I tell them that Cher was ministering in China back in 1973, you'll hear a young woman say, Wow. And then finally, with our good friend Georgine Rice of Portland, Oregon, joining us, you'll hear us sing together with these young Chinese Christians, Amazing Grace. Listen carefully.
阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿们。阿 And she and some Christian singers ministered in universities and colleges in China in 1973.
哦,他说他们喜欢呢,在美国就喜欢和年轻人在一块儿,然后他说他妻子呢,是1973年就来了国内。
So our love for China goes way back. We just pray that you will never lose the fire of revival, the fire of God's Spirit working in you and through you. And that's our prayer for you, as it is for us too.
Amen.
Amen.
This song is Amazing Grace.
Oh, 这个歌就是奇异恩典.
You know it?
Yeah.
Yes. Sing with us.
Good.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now,
You know, God is renewing his church today, and the power that we're seeing in the Chinese church is touching our lives and churches as well. Back here at home, where we worship freely and persecution is not a daily occurrence, we should display a faith which proclaims that Christ rules in our hearts. My friend, I want to take this opportunity to wish you a blessed Christmas season and a joy-filled new year. This is a very special time, and I want you to be enriched in faith throughout these days. Now, we're reminded at this time of year, however, that the history of Christianity since that first advent 2,000 years ago has at times been the history of missed opportunities. Here's a tragic example of that. Are you ready for a quick history lesson? Well, between the years 1271 and 1275, the famed Italian Marco Polo traveled with his father and his uncle from the city of Acre in what is now Israel, across the Middle East and Central Asia, all the way to China. In China, they were privileged to meet with the great Mongol leader and warrior, Kublai Khan. In the course of the Polo's conversations with Kublai Khan, the emperor expressed his interest in learning more about the Christian religion, thinking that perhaps it would be beneficial to promote acceptance of Christianity throughout his empire. Kublai Khan's request was quite simple. He asked the Polos to go back to Pope Gregory X on their return to Rome and to ask the pontiff to send a team of Christian scholars from Rome to China to instruct him and other leaders of China in the principles of the Christian faith. The emperor's desire was clear. With his newly acquired understanding of Jesus Christ, he would proclaim the Christian gospel as the official religion of his empire. All he needed was to be persuaded that Christianity was true. His mind and his heart were open and receptive to accept the arguments of the papal scholars from Rome. Well, the Polos did return to Rome, and they did meet with Pope Gregory, and they conveyed the request of Kublai Khan to the Roman pontiff. But guess what happened? Nothing. Pope Gregory's mind was consumed with local issues of church administration, and he set the emperor's request aside. No Christian scholars or missionaries were sent to China, and one of the greatest Christian outreach opportunities in history was missed as a result. How tragic. My friend, there exists today in China perhaps the greatest evangelistic opportunity in all of world history. The Chinese church, which was relatively dormant for centuries and targeted for total eradication by communist despot Mao Zedong in the middle of the 20th century, was stuck at a minuscule membership of 900,000 in 1949. The communists closed and destroyed all the churches. They imprisoned pastors. They deported the missionaries. They confiscated and burned all the Bibles and Christian literature that they could find. The communist revolution, they believed, could destroy the cult of mythical foolishness called Christianity. At least that's what they thought. But today, the Christian movement in China consists of more than 100 million believers and continues to grow at a rate of 20,000 to 30,000 conversions a day. It's the greatest growth movement in the 2,000-year history of Christianity. So, where is this amazing church growth movement headed? What will the ultimate result be of this present-day explosion of Christianity inside of China? Now listen, my friend, the outcome of this unprecedented opportunity in China will depend in large part on what we do in providing Bibles to the persecuted house churches throughout that great nation. Bibles are needed to develop spiritual maturity in the tens of thousands of converts accepting Christ each day. Bibles are needed to provide comfort and courage to the many who suffer persecution because of their faith. Bibles are needed to fight against the onslaught of heresies and to establish sound doctrine. Bibles are needed to fuel the missionary movement that is spreading to the Muslim countries of Central Asia and the Middle East. Yet in the rural areas of China, where most of the Christians live, only one in every 2,000 believers has access to a Bible. And this is why I'm urging you today to seriously consider this personal invitation. Join with me and with thousands of others in prayerfully giving to Compassion Radio's annual year-end Operation God's Word campaign of providing Bibles to the house church Christians of China. As that church begins to grow, we need to provide Bibles to keep up with that growth.
Why here inside this table? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl.
this Advent season of even $6 can put one of these precious Bibles into the hands of a Chinese Christian who really, truly wants it. Your gift of $60 means 10 people will finally have a copy of something they've longed for years. As our thank you for your gift of $25 or more, and at your request, we'd love to send you a beautiful handcrafted olive wood ornament made by young believers in Bethlehem. These beautifully crafted items are sure to be a wonderful heirloom. The toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can reach us on the internet, CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram and Sandy Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. We wish you the very best this Christmas season, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.